Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
All right, it's the fourth and final hour of the morning show. It's presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. And as we bring in our man Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com, Chip may not be able to hear this, but it's the Chips theme. So we thought it was fitting there for you, Chip. Probably never got
what was that?
We're playing the Chips theme for you. You know, the great California Highway Patrol TV show from back in the 70s.
Oh, how perfect. Yeah. That's fantastic, man. That's great.
And it is one of my favorite TV theme songs, so it works in there perfectly. Anyway, how have you been, Chip? How you doing?
Hey, fantastic. You know, we're in the routine of football, and we love that. You know, practice today, practice tomorrow, interview availability, scrimmages. You know, it's that time, it's fun. It's gotten to see more of them already, more of the Bulldogs already, because of that open practice Saturday than we normally would have seen at this point in the season. And so that I thought that was a pretty telling little session Saturday at Sanford Stadium, even though they weren't in pads yet or anything. I thought you could get a good look at a lot of different aspects of the team, and pretty impressive, actually.
What are a couple of things that have caught your eye so far?
Well, definitely, you know, kind of the speed and athleticism and sort of competitiveness of the receivers and defensive backs. I thought that was actually sort of a great war going on during that, you know, otherwise sort of laissez-faire practice. It was intense. You know, there's not a whole lot of wasted time in Kirby Smart's practices, and it's always interesting to see that played out over a two-hour session. You know, they move so quick from one thing to the next, one drill to the next. Really no wasted minutes in there. I think they maybe broke two times for, brief water breaks, brief call-ups, and then they went right back at it. And just watching the pass skeleton drills with Jake Fromm on one end of the field, Justin Fields on the other end of the field, all those defensive backs trying to cover all those receivers. And that's Georgia has more of those two groups than any other groups. You know, a lot of wide receivers, a lot of defensive backs, and all of them extremely athletic, and all of them are going to be really important to what happens in 2018. So watching J.J. Holloman get open deep and catch a couple of passes and then drop a couple of passes, and Richard LeCount was all over the place, getting his hands on footballs, I thought. And, of course, Demetrius Robertson getting on the field and moving around a good bit and getting a lot of balls thrown to him. You can see what the fuss is about that guy. So that was all very intriguing to me.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Chip, on Fan Day on Saturday, you and other media and fans as well got a long extended look at some of these freshman running backs. And now that we know Zamir White is a full go, also James Cook, I thought, looked pretty fast in the open field. But what were some of your observations on some of the new guys that may take some of that playing time away from perhaps some upperclassmen at running back?
Well, you said it right there on James Cook. I mean, it was just a little bit of a glimpse, and there were no pads on or anything like that. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at that guy and go, "Wow!" You know, they're going to have to find a way to get him on the field really, really quick, and really, really looked good catching the ball in those little flares out of the backfield, and you know, needing to beat one guy to get in the open field. It looks like there's not going to be anybody that he's not going to be able to beat. Based on the little bit of the moves that I saw on Saturday. And, you know, that's going to be a complicated situation because it's hard to keep five backs happy. You know, I don't know who the odd man out will be if all these guys do end up getting on the field. I mean, Zamir, looks great. He's obviously a big guy, but he's not moving at this moment quite like those other guys are. And, I think it's because he's got a metal brace on his right knee, and I think he will eventually. But you know, right now, just based on watching those guys, you know, if I were to do a pecking order, I'd probably at this very moment have Zeus in the back of the line. But now I say that not saying that he's overrated or anything like that. I just think he's not there yet. Obviously, he's a big, huge guy and the number one tailback in the country, so he's going to figure into things sooner or later. But just based on one little early glimpse, you know, I would say it may be a minute before he's able to, you know, be the force we expect him to be eventually.
Chip, you have a very good read on DogNation.com about Juwan Taylor, a senior linebacker. He's been playing a lot of special teams, and just kind of basically, without giving away the entire article, just tell us more about him, and maybe is there some playing time available with some of the graduated linebackers from last season?
Well, there is, you know, and that, you know, that story's about Juwan Taylor is obviously competing to get on the field at one of the two inside linebacker spots that are essentially both open coming into this season. And this is a guy, you know, he's a senior. He came here highly regarded out of Hollywood, Florida, you know, expecting to make an impact at linebacker. He hasn't made an impact at linebacker to date, but he has in the special teams realm of things. And that's, there's been a lot of talk by Kirby and the two coordinators on Saturday about special teams. And the reason is this team is loaded with talent. I mean, it just is. And so, not, you know, you only got 22 spots on the field. Not everybody's going to be able to get out there and be a starter and play a bunch. And so there's been a lot of conversation about the contributions that are needed on special teams and how that's such a valuable – number one, it's a valuable task, you know, that needs to be handled on the team, but it's also, you know, a way to get on the bus. And so that's been a lot of the talk. Are you going to have a spot on the bus? And Juwan Taylor has been on the bus just about every time it's pulled out from the Butts-Mayer building since he's been here. Mostly that's come on special teams, on kickoff return, and that kind of situation. Now, you're going to see him on the field a lot more this year because, you know, regardless of who ends up starting or whatever, he's going to be in the rotation at inside linebacker. And, you know, a lot of people forget, you know, he started a game last year when Georgia was short on linebackers against Vanderbilt in Nashville and actually played really well. He had maybe second or third most tackles on the team that day in Nashville. So he knows how to play, and it's his time. And then the whole replace Roquan Smith narrative that everybody's talking about. He, in answering that question with reporters last night after practice, you know, how are you going to replace Roquan Smith? Every time he got asked that, which was more than once, he would just go down and name every single linebacker that's competing at the position, you know, in this camp, which is about, you know, six or seven guys. He would just list their names. And, you know, the message there is they're going to have to do it by committee. There's not going to be one Roquan Smith, but, you know, rotating these guys in and out a good bit, and maybe you'll have the freshness among six that you had among one Roquan Smith.
I know you just also had a story come out on DogNation.com about Fromm and Fields with the, hey, there's no controversy here. Fields is just going to play, and this guy is so good you can't keep him, no pun intended, off the field. But I like the way maybe a lot of the Georgia fans are kind of taking this. It's like, this is not a quarterback controversy. This is actually a good thing that you've got two guys that can get out on the field like this.
Well, I think, you know, especially with everything that's going on at Alabama right now, you know, that's a messy situation, and you certainly don't have that here at Georgia. And, you know, hey, you know, a year from now, which is, you know, I mean, Tua and Jalen, you know, you didn't have a big controversy necessarily going into last season. And so we'll see how Fields and Fromm plays out. But for now, you know, there's no question. There's only two scholarship quarterbacks on Georgia's roster. Both of them are going to have to be able to lead this team in, you know, every which way that you need it to be done. And, you know, because you just don't know what's going to happen. If somebody gets hurt, you know, he'll have to be in there. And then, you know, I mean, as we get into the season, I think I've said on your show before, I mean, I just don't see a scenario where Justin Fields can wipe out over 900 snaps that Jake Fromm took as a starting quarterback last season and beat him out in 4 weeks of preseason practices. That's just ridiculous to me. But as you get into the season, there's going to be a package for Justin Fields, we assume. You know, Jim Chaney, hasn't gotten that far yet. But he's going to have to get in every game just so he's ready to go. And as the season develops along, if he ends up being the better option, he could end up being your quarterback before the season is over. I don't necessarily expect that right now. But Justin Fields is going to play, and there's nothing controversial about that.
Yeah, and the old adage, some people say, well, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one quarterback. But that I don't feel like that's the situation here. I mean, it feels like, hey, you got two quarterbacks. They have different dynamics, different styles. Coach Chaney and Kirby and everyone else, they're gonna find the best way to get these guys on the field.
Yeah, yeah, they are. And Justin, you know, I mean, listen, you could see it out there Saturday. There's something about, you know, so he's big, yes, and so he runs really, really well. But he has one of the more effortless throwing motions I've seen in a while. I mean, the ball really zips off his hands. It's kind of like in baseball when you see those pitchers that zip it down their 98 miles an hour and it looks like they're not even trying. And that's kind of what you see in Justin Fields. I mean, there's a lot to get excited about there. But there's also a big, fat playbook, you know, that has to be pretty much mastered. And you know, I know Jake Fromm is doing everything he possibly can to help Justin Fields, you know, master that playbook. And really, when it gets into it, and they're not doing a ton of this right now, but the really difficult part gets when you know, they're flashing signals in, and you've got to, you know, you're making the call in the huddle, then you're making the call at the line of scrimmage, and then you got to make sure that you get them in the right play. Jake Fromm's, you know, aptitude in that regard and his success rate on what play actually got ran was through the roof last season. I was talking to Greg McElroy during SEC Media Days, and he just you know, profusely praises Jake Fromm from what he sees on on film about what he does week in and week out. So that's a lot to overcome, but Georgia's got a good situation with both of those guys, and I think we're going to see a whole lot of Justin Fields this season. I really do.
Chip, coming off fan day and I guess the first couple of practices that you've gotten to see, a common thing I'm hearing and reading from beat writers all over the place, as well as fans that were there Saturday, is that this team just looks different. Now, whether that be size of the offensive line, perhaps discipline all over the field, or just raw athleticism at so many different positions, are you kind of feeling the same way that this team looks different? And if so, cause how different does it look?
Well, it does look a lot different. I mean, it looks like, let's be, you know, honest about it. I mean, it looks like Alabama getting off the bus. You know, first off, the offensive line, you know, your starting offensive line, I think, is going to average, 6'5" and a half, 320-something pounds. I did an average of it in over the last couple of years in a previous article I wrote on Dog Nation. I mean, they are, in fact, bigger physically at all positions, and that extends to defensive backs. You know, I mean, Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart in the past two classes have really identified bigger defensive backs, so you can see that in guys like Amir Speed and Eric Stokes and all these guys are well over 6 feet playing at cornerback. The speed is, I think, evident at all of the skill positions, and that's what I was talking about and watching those past skeleton drills. I mean, there's some really, really good competition going on out there, and I think when Georgia finally gets around to playing some other opponents, that's really going to stand out. So I don't know, speed, size, and lots of them, that usually translates to some positive things.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. The Dogs open the season in 25 days, and maybe we'll know something about Demetrius Robertson by then too.
Yeah, you know, I wonder when that's going to come down. There's no timeline on those kind of things, and Kirby's remained, I wouldn't say pessimistic, but he's trying not to get people's hopes up. I do think I do predict a positive outcome on that, but I just don't know when it's going to come. And the good thing is he's able to work out now. And listen, I think he's going to be a difference maker. If you put him in there right now, Terry Godwin is missing a little bit of time with that knee injury, but you put him in there, you know, with Terry Godwin and Riley Ridley and Mecole Hardman, And J.J. Holloman, I think, is really distinguished himself in this camp. You know, Jason Stanley remains the fastest player on Georgia's team. So, I mean, you start putting that kind of rotation up, that's going to make it – that's going to be a big deal for the season. And that, and I do see Georgia throwing the ball around a lot this season. I think that's going to be the best way to matriculate the football. I still think DeAndre Swift and Zamir White and Elijah Holyfield will get their share of carries. But I do see Georgia, you know, going faster, spreading the field a little bit more and throwing that ball around a lot. And D-Rob could help them considerably in that regard.
Didn't you last year, didn't you go to, like, Notre Dame for, like, during the summer or something to kind of start writing previews for that? Are you doing anything like that for Columbia, Missouri or anything this year?
I'm going to visit Austin Peay, Dave. I'm going to go up there.
There you go.
I'm going to get the inside scoop on Austin Peay. Yeah, no, I did do that last year. Actually, I went to Notre Dame twice. I went before Georgia went up there and played. I think that was a big game or what. We went for spring practice, and I got the first look around there, which was so cool. It's just beautiful up there, as everybody knows that they finally went. And so I went up there and visited them in spring practice, and then I went back in the preseason. And then I went, you know, so the week that Georgia played them, I was there the entire week. So to answer your question, no, I don't have any plans to do anything like that right now. I may pop up to Columbia in the last couple of weeks before the season starts and try to get up there and get a little bit of a look at the Gamecocks. Because, hey, listen, now you know this, Mr. South Carolina native. That game is just huge. It's just so big this year because, I mean, when's the last time you said, well, it's actually not ancient history when Spurrier was there, but when Georgia and South Carolina were kind of considered 1 and 2 in the East. I mean, that's definitely, that's what the votes have been coming in as. That's what the preseason predictions are. So you got 1 versus 2 in the conference opener, you know, up there, and there's going to be so much that you don't know about either team, you know, before going into the game. So there's that mystery factor, and then there's the history factor. You know, it's just always a hard place for Georgia to play, especially when they play it as the conference opener. It's just a tough, tough place to play. They'll be so up for it, and, you know, it's going to be hot, and then you're just not sure, you know, exactly what you have in either team, what it is you're trying to do, offensively or defensively. So that's going to be a very, very intriguing game, and it's going to have a lot to say about how both these teams do in 2018.
It's a little bit weird being a South Carolina fan right now because you feel like your program is on the rise. Muschamp's done a pretty good job, but the angst is that your two biggest rivals are, you know, two of the three or four best programs in the country right now. So it's you know, that's what I think South Carolina fan is having to deal with at the moment.
Yeah, and South Carolina fan has been dealing with that for a long time.
Well, that's true. That's true.
They're living in Clemson and Georgia's shadow, and occasionally they've peeped out from behind it, but it hasn't been very often.
Well, like you said, when Spurrier was there, but other than that, it's been tough. Chip, always great talking to you, my man. I know we'll do this on a regular basis. Looking forward to it, and have a great week.
Yeah. See you next week.
All right. Chip Towers, the AJC's, dognation.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.